I got up this morning at the crack of dawn and left Suwannee at about 6:45 because I wanted to make sure that I was on time. I knew one tardy person was enough for a congregation to take in 2 days. I said to somebody, Key and I sit next together in the Board of Regents, and Key takes very little time to get very unnerved by whatever we're doing. And so usually after about 15 minutes of the Regents meeting, he'll reach over and say, I'm leaving now. When we are on the telephone for a 3-hour meeting sometimes, the whole time Key spends texting me about what's going on in the world. So I know once he got here, it was great and wonderful, but I'm happy that I drove 45 miles an hour and got to see things I'd never seen before because I wanted to be sure that I was here early enough. This is the Sunday of Christ the King. It's interesting, the lesson that we read this Sunday from the Gospel doesn't seem like it's something that we're hoo-hoo-hooing up about Christ the King. It is the end of the church year. This is the goodbye. It's over. We're starting afresh Monday morning. Tomorrow, it's a new day. We're going to begin with what?
Advent.
And what does Advent tell us? What?
Jesus born as a baby.
Advent tells us Christ is near. Near. And then the hymn goes on to say, Christmas tells us Christ is
here.
Now, we are very confused about that in the United States of America. Because I already saw reindeer on the way down here that were already in place. But it is that Christ is near, that Christ is not here, so we get ready by preparing for Christ to come, not that Christ is here. When I lived in Cartersville, Georgia, a parishioner of mine, we walked very early in the morning together, and when it came to Advent, she had this box of, I don't know what you'd call them, citations that she carried with it. And I said, what are you doing, Morris? And she said, I'm giving Advent citations. So if we went by to any house that was a parishioner's that had anything decorated before Christmas Eve, they got a citation stuck on their front door, warning them, it's not here yet. We're getting ready for it. We are getting ready for Christ the King. And so my experience in this Christmas time is, where does America make most of its money? In the next 3-4 weeks. Where do most of us spend much of our money? In the next 4 or 5 weeks. What? Buying groceries? Yeah, too much. We gain more weight than you can imagine. But the message is, that is not what Advent is about. It's about getting ready for the coming of the birth of Christ, and has little or nothing to do with American secular Christmas. Where your treasure is, there is where your heart also. So where is your treasure at Christmas? Is it, I mean, you don't have to go anywhere anymore. I mean, Amazon visits our house more. I think, what is Amazon? Who's ordering these things that are coming? Unless you will be willing to give, Jesus says, you will never receive. So, yes, this is a time for giving. But who is it a time for giving for? The Father wants to give you everything in His kingdom. Won't you let Him? And I think the won't you let Him comes when we have to understand that we cannot spend all of our time decorating, buying, laying up for ourselves or for others treasures on earth where rust and moths do something to, and thieves break in and do something else too. Well, I'm going to tell you two stories about this. Maybe three. Oh, it might be four. I was sitting next to somebody in church recently, and they had this card in their hand, and they wrote on the card, because of what the preacher said, "He's living to give it away." Christ is living to give it away, and I took it that this person understood that what we needed to be doing was be living to give it away, to not build it up for ourselves. When I was in Houston, Texas, many years ago, I preached sometimes things that they did not like. A lady sitting about where you are stood up one Sunday and screamed, "You are red," meaning I was a communist, and walked out of the room. So my sermon, sometimes I was a little nervous about giving them. This was a kind of a tense time in our life in the middle to end of the 1970s. But this Sunday, I preached a fairly decent, kind, wonderful sermon. And at the end of it, as we were walking out the door, this woman said, "Thank you very much for your sermon," kissed me on the cheek. And when she took my hand, she'd given me something in my hand. Well, I paid no attention to it. I thought it was one of these notes that was going to say, "Let me tell you how mad you did today and what the heresy you preached." But what had happened to me in my life at that church was that I began to pray every Saturday on how much I was to give the next Sunday in the offering. And this particular Saturday, the amount that I was to give was $42 more than I had in my banking account. And I said aloud to the Lord, "You don't want me to do this, do you?" And the Lord said deep within me, "Who do you trust?" And I wrote my check, and I put it in the offering plate. And when I got back to the sacristy, I reached in my pocket and pulled out a $50 bill. And I thought, wow. Later on that day, my friend and classmate at Suwanee, Craig Anderson, who had been doing a program in Houston, spent the night with me, and we began to talk about our new relationship with money and God. And as we were getting ready, he said, "You know, I don't have enough money to get my car out of hock in the airport in Nashville when I go back to Suwanee." I said, "Don't worry, I have this $50 bill, because then you could stay at an airport for a long time for $50. Weeks, in fact. Doesn't happen anymore. But for $50. So we get in our car to go to the airport. If you've ever been to Houston, it's the damnedest traffic, excuse me, but it's bad traffic. It's bad traffic. So we were in this traffic, backed up in the traffic on the way to the airport, and we're late, and he gets out of the car and runs into the terminal, and I realize he hasn't given me a check. I'm right back where I started from. I've given him the $50. It's over. I get back to the church office. Now, in these days, I work for a rector, I'm sure, not like you would be, who would walk right by me and put a note in my box telling me what he wanted to do. True. So I got my things out of the box, and there was this envelope. And in the envelope, when I opened it up, it said, "The Father wants to give you everything in his kingdom. Won't you let him?" And inside was a $100 bill. What that $100 bill did for me was it stopped me from making Christmas anything except about giving to people who don't have what I have. As my mother would call it, three hots and a flop. People that don't have three meals and a bed to sleep in. The church is not about building up grander things. It's about getting rid of and helping people who don't have anything. It's about bringing people in the doors of here who have no idea what it is to have nice clothes on like you and I have on. It is to change the way we have Advent. Christ tells us that Christmas tells us that Christ is near. Christmas tells us that Christ is here, and we will know that when we know at the end of the time that we have absolutely done something beyond our belief. Another time during Advent, another time where people wanted me to talk stewardship. And in my thing, I still have it. This was in Sanibel, Florida. You know how rich people are in Sanibel. You know, they're very rich. They got to have a lot of money to even eat there. I said, this person had said to me, "How much is enough? What you got to figure out in your life is how much is enough." And so I wrote down, how many cars are enough? How many homes are enough? How much jewelry is enough? How many suits is enough? How much food is enough? How many toys is enough? How much money is enough? And I preached that sermon. And the next Sunday, where I was there for 2 weeks, they let me be there for 2 weeks. The first week, I was real gentle with them like that. Then I got down to business. The first week, then the second week, when I got to church that Sunday, I found a penny on the ground. I mean, I found on my book up here an envelope, and it had a penny taped on the front of this manila envelope. And there was a note inside. And the note inside said this: "When I got out of church last Sunday, I found this penny on the ground. When I got home and emptied my pockets, this nickel, dime, and quarter and dollar bill were in my pocket. The rest fell from heaven, so to speak." And I looked in that envelope. And in that envelope, there was a nickel, a dime, a quarter, and a dollar bill. Also, there were two $2 bills. Also, there were five $5 bills. Also, there were 10 $10 bills, 20 $20 bills, 50 $50 bills, and 100 $100 bills. $13,090.91 given to that church by who knows. They were trying to tell me, "I'm getting it. I'm understanding it." Now, I later found out who this person was. In the course of the next years of their life, they gave 90% of everything they made away and lived on the 10%. They sold their diamonds, rubies, and emeralds. It was a woman. Men can't ever get to this. I'm sorry. It was a woman. And the rector of the parish said, it is the happiest human being I've ever encountered. She finds everything in this world in need and goes out and reaches for it. And he said to me, that's what it is to worship and live with Christ the King. That is what we celebrate this day. That we give and give and give again what God hath given thee. To spend thyself nor count the cost, but to serve right gloriously, the hymn says. Do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going, somebody said. God judges by what we give, by what we keep. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Don't tell me where your priorities are. Show me where you spend your money, and I'll tell you what they are. I'm almost finished. In 1977... Do you know that the Episcopal Church used to have a stewardship officer for the Episcopal Church? Did you know that?
No.
Yes. Had a stewardship officer and a stewardship office with four people in that office. They did things all over the country about helping people with their stewardship. There were consultants that worked with them. I was one of the 36. And we met together at different times. In 1997, we happened to meet in my hometown of Lexington, Kentucky. And we were asked to break up in groups and to write a prayer about stewardship, about giving, about being generous. And our group was made up of some very difficult people. I was one of them. Their last names were Carlisle, Slayton, Dyke, Jones, Peckinpah, Parsons, and Lyon. There are two of us that are still alive today. And we decided we didn't want to write a prayer. We wanted to write a hymn. And we chose the hymn tune of Austria. Glorious things of thee are spoken, you know. Bum, 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 bum. And so here was our words. Showered by your gracious bounty, we delight in all your gifts. God, we're grateful for your loving. Help us share it joyfully. Give us courage as your stewards to proclaim your life for all. For we give what you have given. Grant us grace to share it all. Showered by your gracious bounty, we delight in all your gifts. God, we're grateful for your loving. Help us share it joyfully. Give us courage as your stewards to proclaim your life for all. For we give what you have given. Grant us grace to share it all.